Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf lamed. We're holding the final line on chof tes amud beis. You'll recall that yesterday the Gemara finished off the discussion talking about what happens if someone was mode, meaning a loveh went in front of a malveh and took two edim atem edai and said to the malveh, I hereby confess and I admit and I acknowledge that I owe you $100. And he said in front of two edim. We learned in the Gemara yesterday that if at the same time that he said in front of the two edim he made a kinyan, then the edim can go and write it down on a shtar. However, if he did not make a kinyan, then you cannot write it down in a shtar. Now, the Gemara told us a story about someone that brought in a shtar, and it was missing the typical text that you would normally find in a shtar. What would the typical text be? If this was a shtar, where it was only two edim signing, and the reason why they signed is either because it was a kinyan, or because the loveh said, go ahead, be my guest, write it down, then normally they would write that in the shtar. If you go back about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara says, Ahi Udisa. Udisa means a shtar hoidoa, which means that it reflects the fact that the loveh said, yes, I am moida, that I owe the amount of money to the malveh. So they have a kasuvah. Normally the standard text, the Bloomberg form, would normally say in it, or malona, the loveh said to us, kisvu, write it down. I just made a hoidah. Yes, by all means, document it, write it, v'chismo, and sign it, v'hovulei, and give it over to the malveh. No problem. But it was missing those words. Those are the typical words, and they were missing. So perhaps these two edim signed on the shtar without the benefit of a kinyan and without the benefit of a direction, an instruction from the loiva. So in other words, maybe these edim goofed and one shouldn't write shtaris like this. And maybe the shtar is meaningless. So says the Gemara, no. Abai v'rova d'amr tava, you handed Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, chazaka. You can rely on the Edom. These are not idiots. These are not Amaratzim. You can assume that they did a good job. And as you recall, we said yesterday, it wasn't typically that the Edom would go and write the Shtar. It was usually done through Sofrim that were affiliated with a Bezdin. And so therefore the Sofrim presumably knew the halacha, and in fact the Gemara was asking, Maskul Rapapi, is it possible that the Sofrim know? And the Gemara says, yes, the Sofrim know very, very well that you don't go and sign a shtar udisa, a shtar hoidoa, on behalf of two edim, unless there was either a kinyan or there was a direction. The fact that these few words are missing, no, they're missing. But you can assume it was done bekashras, because Reish Lakish says, normally people sign a shtar, there's a presumption of that it was done halachically, correctly, and validly. So with this type of background, we have a similar situation on the final line, Hayudisa, to have a kosebei, duchron pizgami, v'chol lishni debeidina. So Rashi explains that in the good old days, they had two forms of documents, like two Bloomberg forms. One form was one that was a loshen of Hagodas Edus, and the other one was a zichron dvarim of a bezdin. If it was Hagodas Edus, it would have been like we had earlier, what the Gemara said. Or malana, the loivet told us, yes, write, sign, give the shtar, no problem. Signed on the bottom by two edim. In a case of a bezdin shtar, it would be three dayanim together, obviously, and it would start off Duchron Pizgami. Duchron Pizgami means the Zecher to the Dvorim that were said before the Dayanim. We're writing this down so that there should be a documented record. And the Mishnah and the Gemara continues on the top of the Amud. V'cholishin Beidina. All of the words were written in Bezdin style. In other words, the way you would typically find a Bezdin writing at a Shtar, as opposed to the typical text that you would find for Edom. So if you went into the stationery store, for a mall years ago, you would ask for a Bloomberg form, you'd see that one drawer would say on it, this is for Zichron Edus, and the next drawer would say, this is for Zichron Dvarim of Dayanim, and in fact, that's the way the whole star read. You read it from the beginning to end, I can imagine at the end there'll be three rabbis signed. And guess what? Only have a kosebay the moisef tulasa habina the chavri sayed. Only two were signed. Oy vavai. When two are signed on a document that sounds like a Bezdin document, something's wrong. What's going on? So typically, how would this be? This would be that originally they had three dayanim, and three dayanim were there for the entire proceedings from A to Z, beginning to end. In the case of our hoidah, they would have been there listening very carefully to the loiva, saying in front of the malva, the whole nine yards. The problem is, by the time that they documented it, and by the time that they went and signed it, lo yaleinu, the third dayan, holach li oilama, he passed away. And when you do something like that, typically, so that you don't have eyes raised by people, it sounds like a Bezdin shtar, and there are only two signatures. So typically, at the end, you write, have a kosuba, a moisef tlosa habina, we were originally three dayanim, but unfortunately, one of them passed away. Now, if that was in fact the case, that there were three dayanim originally, one of them passed away, then there's no problem, because by the time they reached their verdict, so to speak, there was no litigation over here, but they were all committed to go and sign, they all heard the hoidah on the part of the loive to the malve, and unfortunately, you know, higia yoim, the person never passed away, lo yaleinu v'lo yaleichem. So, the question is, what do we do with this shtar? The shtar sounds like a Bezin shtar, it doesn't sound like an Eidus shtar, but yes, it's signed by two, and it doesn't say that there were three and one passed away. So what do we do? So Ravin Lameim had Rish Lakish, just like Rish Lakish. It's not mamish like Rish Lakish, he means that it's similar to Rish Lakish. Just like Rish Lakish said, Ein Eidim Choysvin Al HaShtar, Elim Kei Nase Godl. You can assume that everything was done to the best of their abilities, to in connection and in accordance with all halachic standards and guidelines. You can assume the same thing over here, and it was just human error that they forgot to write at the end, klosa havina v'chad leisayi, but you can assume that it's kusha v'yush. Only Rav Nosson bar Ami, Ravina, I respectfully disagree. Hachem rinim shmei derava, hoki I gavna, whenever you find a situation like that, that it's a Bezin shtar, no, thank you, it's a Bezin shtar, not an Eidus shtar, but there are only two signed on the bottom. Chayshinon le Bezdin toyin. You have to be concerned that this is a Bezdin that made a mistake. What means that it made a mistake? If you look at the Rashi third line in the middle, the Bezdin toyin, Savurim shiushnayim kshedim lodun. These two that signed assumed that you don't need three. They assumed that two is sufficient, and that's why they signed two. So don't automatically jump to the conclusion that it's kosher like Rish Lakish and that it was done all properly. No. You should assume that unfortunately they messed up and it's no good because you have to have three dayanim. Omer Nachmi Yitzchak, Ikoseba Beidina Su Loit Tzarech. If it says the magic words, until now we said that it said Duchrin Pizgami V'chalishad Beidina. However, now, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, if it also says, L'moshel on the letterhead, or somewhere in the body, that this is the Bezdin of whoever, of Kushkin Hala, very good, this happens to be the Bezdin, Sulaitzar, then you don't have to worry about it, because they are saying, we were a Bezdin, and Bezdin of Kushkin Hala, everybody knew, must be three Dayanim. So you don't have to worry about that two, that you could have a Bezdin toying that two, think that they're acting like a Bezin, that could be. However, they'll never sign that we were a Bezin, because everybody knows that two are not a Bezin. Like the next Rashi says on the third line, if it says Beidina, Hakul Yodin, Shein Shnayim, Kruyim Bezin. The previous Rashi said, the Bezin Toyin, Svurim, Shu Shnayim, Kshayim Lodin. They think that two are allowed to adjudicate. But nobody in their right mind would say, we are a Bezin, because a Bezin is a minimum of three, according to everybody. Frey tomorrow. Who's everybody? The Duma Bezdin, Chotzefu. Maybe it was Taka, Achutz B'dikah Bezdin. What means Achutz B'dikah Bezdin? That famous Shmuel that we've had already a few times, the Yom Shmuel. Shnaim Shadona Dinayin Din. If two decided a verdict in a court case, it is valid, it is effective. Elish Niklu Bezdin Chotzef. However, what they did was improper, because you're not supposed to have a Bezdin of two. You're supposed to have a Bezdin of three. So what they did is, if you will, Ashtikl Chutzpah. Nevertheless, it's a Bezdin. And so therefore, Zokti Gemara, even if the document says in bold letters, this is the Beis Din of Kishken Alash. Maybe, nevertheless, it was still only two, because they figured Beis Din of two is also a Beis Din. It's a Beis Din Chotzit, but it's a Beis Din. And maybe it was Tak only two. Zok the Gemara, no. The Kosset Bei Beidina de Rabna Ashi. In the document, it didn't just say, this is the Beis Din of Kishken Alash, but it said it's the Beis Din of Rav Ashi. Now, why does the Gemara chap on Dafkeps Rav Ashi? So Rashi says, because the Beis Din Rav Ashi was famous in its day for being the greatest and the most superior, most supreme court among all of the Batei Din. And we focus on Rav Ashi because since we started off this Gemara of Rav Dina Lemeimar, Rashi reminds us that Rav Dina and Rav Ashi were contemporaries, and they were the ones that were Masada the Shas. In case you didn't remember, look at Rashi, the fourth line. The Omelon Ravna Ashi, in the middle of the line. Lichtov Kach, Rav Ashi. And then I'm one step ahead of myself in terms of the Gemara, but that doesn't matter. The Kiman Dehi, to who Hoyesham, Mistama Loitziva, Lifchois Mishloisha Lichtov. Behind the knock at Rav Ashi, Mistab Sir Ashi, the Fisha Bezdinoi, Hoyerosh, Bimei Ravina. It was the chief, the highest court, if you will, during Ravina's time. Ushnaim Sidra Gemara, we know that Ravina and Rav Ashi were contemporaries. Peers, colleagues, they were sat the Gemara, Shul Talmud Bavli, Kerimrin Hossam, in Mesechtes, Bab Metzia, Rav Ashi, Rav Dina, Soi Feira, Ubi Yomad Nemru, Dvorim Halolu, Mahuk, Ubi Gemara. So that's why the Gemara refers to Rav Ashi. But Lav Dafka, when it said in the document, Beidina, here Taka said Beidina Rav Ashi, but the same thing would be in the times of Chassam Soifer, would say the Beidina of the Chassam Soifer. So we know that that's the highest supreme judicial authority of its day. That's why I have nothing to worry about. Pray to him 1 second. We're assuming at this point that Rav Ashi had a whole bunch of dayanim on his Beis Din. Maybe it had a Beis Din of 23 for all we know. And therefore, some of those dayanim were picked for the lawsuit vis-a-vis Smith. And some of them were vis-a-vis Jones. And others vis-a-vis McGillicuddy. And therefore they split it up. You know, they had a very, very large rabbinical panel. And they would each time take three for each adjudication, for each case. Ezokti Gemara, the Dilma Rabbanim, the Rav Ashi, maybe some of the Dayanim of Rav Ashi's Beis Din, Kishmul Svir Lahu, they hold like Shmuel. And Shmuel, we just said now, Shtayim Shedanu Dinehem Din, Elishin Nikra Beis Din Chatzim. So maybe they held two is sufficient. So even though it says in bold letters that this is done by a Beis Din, and even if it says that it's the Beis Din of Rav Ashi, that's still not a guarantee that this was done properly with three Dayanim, and two are still alive, and Nebuch one passed away, and he just left out those words that Tlosa Havina V'chad Leisoi. Maybe in fact it was all only two Dayanim. Efer the Gemara, Chsiv Boi V'Omer Lon Rav Na'ashi. In the document it said that Rav Ashi, who was the Rosh Beis Din, he told us to write this down and to codify it and to document it. So therefore they're doing it under the aegis and under the instruction of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi certainly did not hold that one should go and paskin with a Beis Din Chotzev. Nothing to worry about. So maybe some of the individual dayanim on Rav Ashi's Beis Din, they might have thought, yeah, Sinishke Ferlech will make a Din Torah with two dayanim. If it says, V'omel on Rav Ashi, you have nothing to worry about for sure. There were the three Dayanim there, and Nebuch one passed away, and that's why only two have signed the document at the end. And we continue on talking about the Inyan that Eloiva, when he says it to the Malva, he should say it in front of Edim, and what happens by Yishchimra. Tanur Barat, we'll see now in the Brisa. Look to the Brisa. Omelhen Echad, Ani Re'isi Avichim Shehitmin Mo'is B'shida Teva Mikal. We have a person who Nebuch passed away, the Shiva is over, the Shloshim is over, and now one person goes over to the Kindlech and says to them, Rabbis, I want you to know that your father put away $1,000, B'shida Teva Migdal, in one of these three structures, and don't immediately run to go and take it and say, oh, Baruch Hashem, we got this money, we didn't even know it was there. I have to tell you, V'omer shel ployni hein, or shel ma'aseh sheni hein. He said that when father hid it away, I was there, I was present, and he told me, yes, I'm hiding away this $1,000, but you should know this is not my money. This really belongs to Ployni, because I owe Smith this $1,000. Or, this is not my money, this is Master Sheni money that has to be taken up to Yerushalayim. The question is, Do we believe him or don't we believe him? Says the Braisa, Babayis loy amaklum. If that Shida Teva Migo, Shida Teva Migo, think to you in your mind like a large armoire, like a large cabinet, like you have in the offices, they have these large
filing cabinets.
Filing cabinets. So he said, in one of those filing cabinets, the middle one in the back, that's where he went and squirreled away $1,000. If that filing cabinet happens to be Babayis, loy maklum. Which is gunish mit gunish. Meaning that they do not have to assume it belongs to Pliny. They don't have to assume it's Master Shani. They can take it for themselves. However, if it was Besoda, the Shita Teva Migdol was out in the field, Tvarav Kayamin. When they open up the Shita Teva Migdol and they discover there is in fact $1,000, then they have to assume that that person is telling the absolute truth, and that therefore, or not only that he's telling the truth, but that the father, when he was speaking to them, it was all true, and they have to follow that direction, and either give it back to Pliny, or give it to Master Shani. What's the difference between whether the Shita Teva Migdol is Babayis or Besoda? Says the Bryce, I'll explain to you. Kololi Shodover, this is the general rule. Kol should be Yodai Litlan, Tvarav Kayomen. Ein Biyodai Litlan, Loi Omar Klum. What does he mean to say? This fellow who came now and offered this information to them and said, by the way, I know you don't know about this. It's a well-known secret, well-kept secret between your father and me. Your father put away the Shita Teva Migdol money. If it happens to be out in the field, you don't believe me, fellows? Guess what? I didn't have to say a word to you, and 5 minutes ago, I could have taken migoy, that money. Right. I have a migoy. Exactly right. What's the migoy? The migoy is that I could have gone to the Shita Teva Migdol myself, taken out the money. You didn't know anything about it. And I could have given it directly to Smith for this chayv. Or I could have taken it up or given it to somebody else. Take it up to Yerushalayim, because it's Masha Sheni. So it was the Yudar, as you say, it was a migoy. That being the case, that's why I'm believed. However, if it's in Babayis, I have no access to the bias because I don't know the combination. And I don't have the keys to the doorknob, so I can't get in. So now that I've told you this information, it's no longer biyadi. Now they can do whatever they want in terms of either keeping the funds or paying Smith, whatever they want to do. It's Klolish Shodova, Kosher Biyadi, Litlan, or Kayomet. If he has that migoy, that he could himself have liquidated the cash. He could have taken the cash for himself. He could have done anything he wants. What's the din of Kayama? But in Bir Litlan, since it's fast, Babayis, he can't get to it. Loya Makla. Another case. Harry Shiro is Avian Shehitman Mois Bishida Teva Mito. The children saw how the father is putting away money secretly in a small compartment. Shida Teva Mito. The Omar. And he tells the children, Shall Ploinihe or Shall Master Shenihe. You should know, these monies don't belong to me. They belong to Ploini. Or they belong to Master Shen. Now we have to go and see the background and the form of the informing of the father to the children, right? It says the Omer Shoplanyin, the father said, belongs to Plany Shlomasishin. Imke Moiser Dvorov Kayomen. What means Moiser? Rashi says, if it looks like he is giving them an oral tzavo, like you would find the Moshel Gabi Shchimra, Lav Dafka, this was a Shchimra. But the point is that if it looks like the reason why he's telling them this is like a direction or instruction, and he's saying, La'achar mei v'esrim, when you are allocating and divvying up the estate, when you find this $1,000, you should know, this doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Smith, or it belongs to Master Sheni, then Dvarav Kiyam, then he's believed. In Kemarim, however, if it looks like he's just trying to trick them, then Liam Maklum is gunished. What means he's trying to trick them? So Rashi says that he was not happy with their spending habits. As you know, children that get into money, especially from an estate, they didn't have to work a second for it. So easy come, easy go. So if you look at Kima'arim, Rashi's about a quarter down the Amud, Kima'arim, Shehu Misyore, he's afraid. Shlo Yitlim B'chayev. That these kids, now that they know that that money is there in that compartment, the Shita Teva Migdol, they might decide to take it away even during his lifetime. In other words, when he's sleeping, or Chas V'Shalom, if he's on his deathbed or something, they're not going to ask any questions. They're just going to take the money away. Or, Shulayach Siku Ki Osher, L'Hoysev Al Yitzi Oysev, Or they shouldn't say, oh boy, Tati's really rich. I knew about all those bank accounts that he has, and I knew about those brokerage accounts and the real estate, but I didn't know he has that cash that he just stored away, stashed away there in the Shiva Teva Migdal. And therefore, the Hoysev Al Yitzi Oysev, they're just going to add it to the expenses. They'll take it and they'll spend it. And the father, okay, so he spent a little bit more money this year. Baruch Hashem, he's got plenty of cash stashed away. So that's why he was marim, because he didn't want them to go and think that this money is easy come, easy go. And so therefore, he said, it doesn't belong to me. No, it belongs to Smith. It belongs to Master Shem. Now, exactly how are you supposed to determine it? Presumably, either the Edom or the Bezin is going to have to try to be Mishayer, in which, what were the circumstances? The marshal, whilst he's putting it away, he says, Kinlach, come here, I want you to see what I'm doing. I'm putting this money away because it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Smith, it belongs to Master Shani. Oh, so that sounds like Kimoisu. However, if he's putting the money away, and they just happen to say, hey, Tati, what are you doing over there? Am I just, I'm just putting my, what is that, remember? Okay, it's extra money there, but I want you to know it's not mine. So then it doesn't look like he's Moiser, it looks like he's trying to hide something from them. Why is he trying to hide something? Because he's afraid that they're just going to go and spend it, and they might even take it when he's still alive. So you have to see the circumstances. Now this is a very fascinating halacha. A person, Chas V'Shalom, his father passed away, and he knew that his father was an oisher, and they've gone through all of his possessions, up and down, back and forth, and they didn't find what they thought they would find. They were expecting to find $1 million in cash. Who is this? I don't know. Where what happened to it? And guess what happened? So he was mitzvah Moshe Nichliyov. He couldn't sleep at night. Where is that cash? Where is the cash? Ubal balachaloyim. And a balachaloyim came to him. Rashi says, fascinating. What's a balachaloyim? Says Rashi, sar hamara chaloyim is balayla. It's apparently some sort of ministering angel upstairs in Shemayim. He is the one that chose chaloyimus. Every night when you have a dream, he's the guy, if you want to appeal to him about the dreams.
An angel?
Apparently an angel. There are very few living men or women upstairs in Shemayim.
It could be a shade.
Shindal is usually a bad guy. This happens to be the Sar Hamar Chaloyimus. He's apparently, that's his job. There's a Malach Gabriel, and there's a Malach Raphael, and there's a Malach Bala Chaloyim that goes and shows you the chaloyimus balayim. So he showed it, and he told him, Yingala the Omaloi Kach Vekach Hain. I know you're wondering where's that $1 million in cash. I'll tell you exactly where it is. It happens to be on the top. Ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum. And it gives the exact look, the exact amount, that $1 million. And we're not complying hand in the exact place. But I want you to know, Shalma Shashenihim. But they're not monies that you can just easily expend or spend because these are Masashen. And then the guy wakes up in the morning. And he says, wow, that sounded like a real, real, true dream. And most dreams, I just ignore. But this one really sounded correct. And he goes to that makoyim that was identified a dream. And there's mamish $1 million in cash. Wow, he said there'd be a million. There was a million. And he said it was in a makoyim, and it was in that makoyim. But he said it's Master Shani. So what do I do now? Is it Taka Master Shani? The first two I'm happy with. The third one I'm not so happy with. So what did the Gemara say? The Gemara says something fascinating. Even though on the first two ingredients it was exactly million, mokim. Master Sheni, that was the Divrei Chaloyimus, which are Leimalev Leimarid. Obviously it's not the first two, because it was the exact amount, and it was in that mokim. But the third leg of this tri-legged Chaloyimus, this message, Leimalev Leimarid, that you can ignore, you can use the money, and enjoy it the way you want.
Two comments.
Yes, Manny.
The five chalomers do have effects by Yosef, by Paroi, and it's the same class of shame. It's still his money.
Mm-hmm.
Yerushalayim. It's right. Not saying it's someone else's money.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but it's his money still.
Okay, so fine.
So why do they make away with it? That's
This is a general rule that the dreams, no matter how realistic they feel and they seem, and no matter how many details are correct, however, don't assume that every single word that is uttered in this dream is correct, because we have a standard rule. And therefore, in this, although there were 100 words in this particular cholam, exactly the amount and the mokum and how you get there, but some of the words were shlomasa sheni. So part of the dream is lamavle merin, and you can identify that masa sheni, that is the divichalim shlomavle merin. halacha l'maisa, check it up in the Shulchan Aruch, but it seems that this is the halacha. You see on the side, it says there's a heder.
What is the translation? Lo ma'alin, no more reading. You don't take him up or down?
In other words, they're meaningless. They're irrelevant. The ma'alin don't, as a result, go up. Don't, as a result, go down. You can ignore that portion of the dream.
It's interesting, since Shulchan Krakow, which was built, because the man had the dream about the fortune and the bridge in Vienna,
right.
He goes there, and the guard eventually chases him away and says, what are you doing? He said, I dreamed there was a fortune under the bridge in Krakow, and the bridge in Vienna. So the guy says to him, I had a dream that there's a treasure in the house of someone in Krakow. It's his name. He goes back home, he breaks open the wall, and there's a treasure there. And he built a shul in Krakow. And my father, television told me, he says, he davened in that shul. He saw
really? Yes, it's a real story.
It's a real story. Years ago, it was in an aluminum magazine in the back of, I don't remember.
Circle magazine.
I remember aluminum magazine, yeah. A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway.
It's a true story. Yeah.
Shnayim Amrim Zakai. So remember, we had back in our Mishnah, what happens if there was a vote of 2-1? So then you issue the verdict and say, Zakai or not, etc. What's the form now of issuing the verdict? What do you say, or what do you write in the final document? Mechtav Hechi Kasvi. How do you go and, in a sense, sign the document or issue the verdict? The Gemara is going to give now three views of the Amiroim, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, and Reb Lozen. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Zakai. Just say in the bottom of the document, Zakai, Shimon was found innocent. In other words, he does not owe the money to Reuven. Reuven said he owes him $1,000 based on all the evidence and our discussions. Zakai, Shimon is off the hook. Rish Lakish Omer, no, you got to be much more specific. There were three rabbis, Ploini and Ploini Mizakin. Two of them said that he is Zakai, in other words, he is free, he's innocent, wow. And one of them said he was Mechayev. Or, in the parentheses, Faket.
Identifying the names of the rabbis.
Yeah. Yes, identifying the names of the rabbis. And what's your concern?
Rachel.
Yeah. Rachel. So that's more kasha. We're going to get to that. So, Rish Lakish says Ploini and Ploini, Rabbi Smith and Rabbi Jones, they were Mizakin, and Rabbi Goldberg was Faket, he was Mechayev. Or Faket. Then Reb Loza Omar, you don't write any names. However, at least you give everybody the sense that this was not unanimous. And you say, midivrayim, as a result of the deliberations among the rabbis on this Bezdin tribunal, nizdake, from the Russian zakai, ploini, they freed ploini, and they say, you are zakai. Freitimura, my benayu, what difference does it make? Yoichanan, he says, Zakai, Rish Lakish says, Ploini, Ploini, Reb Lozen said, Midivrayim, where's Menafkimina? So you might know this has very, very down-to-earth financial Nafkiminis. Ekebenai Lishlume Ihu Manasa Bahadai. Meaning, what happens if after they issue their verdict, and Lemoshel Shimon has been freed, he's Zakai, and then the Malve is furious and he's upset, I know for a fact he owes me the money, the ram, but ram, and he goes to his own Rabbanim and Dayanim, he does a Wikipedia search, a Google search, and he finds that these three rabbis have really messed up badly. They missed the Beferish HaKtzois HaChoshin and Choshin Mishpat, and they overlooked the Taz, and they overlooked the Shach, and what they did was wrong. It's so wrong that now they or another Bezin decided that the first Bezin was taka wrong, and they have to go and make amends, they have to go and pay the Teruvain, the damages, that the amount that they freed Shimon. Okay, so now the question is...
Well, that's if they taught it in a Mishnah, isn't it?
If it's a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, then we said that you can reverse the whole thing and start from the beginning. Uh-huh. But if it's not Torah B'dvar Mishnah, it's Torah, what was the Lashon for Gemara, that they had a Matois. Gemara explained it, that there was a Matois between the Tanoim or the Amiroim, and they didn't come to, and there's no specific halacha set forth in Shulchan Aruch or in the Gemara or anywhere. And what happened was, and their stam sugya goes like one man the Yomar, and he passed like Shikladas. Stavov Omer Aleph, Stavov Omer Aleph, Omer Rav, Sheshis Omer Rabami. Tobit var Mishnah Choyze, halfway down the
aisle.
And the Vova Miral, Vova Miral of Mesechta Sanhedrin. 6a. If you Tobit var Mishnah Choyze, Tobit Shikla Das, Hekadom Shikalatas and Republic, you're going trade Tanoi, betray Amiroi, the Pligia Dodi, either two Tanoi or two Amiroi that have a mach like this. It doesn't say anywhere, bottom line, Hilchasa Kir doesn't say that. However, Sugya the Alma Liv the Chabinayu, the general Sugya throughout Shas goes in one direction with, in the favor of Rav against Shmuel, or Shmuel against Rav, or whatever. However, it doesn't say Befeir, we pass him like that. However, for some reason, he ignored or he forgot about the Sugyan, the Alma, that normally throughout the Gemara we go with one view as opposed to the other. He did like the other one. Haina Shikaladasi, mixed up the Yoitzris, he mixed up Rav and Shmuel, Abaye Varava, whatever it was. It doesn't say clearly in Shulchan Aruch that we pass in one way or the other, but it seems like from the Mahalach of Shas that we favor one over the other, and he did the other way. Anyway, he's got to pay. So now the question...
Shulchan Aruch, he has to pay.
The Dayan has to pay, correct. So now we have three Dayan. It was two against one. Two of them said he's Potter, and one said he's Chayv. And now it turns out that they messed it up, that the minority rabbi was right, and the two of the majority rabbis were wrong. What do we do now? So the two certainly have to go and pay because of Shikla Das. But does the third one who was correct all along, does he also have to go and pay? And you're saying to yourself, why should he have to pay? He was right. So that's the nafkimina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Zokti Yimar. L'shlumei ihu, that they should have to pay, not that they should have to pay. He, the third Dayan, he should have to pay Manasa, his third Badayu, together with them. Let's assume that the damages are $300. The two that were wrong for sure have to pay their $200. But does he, the third Dayan, who was correct, does he have to pay the third $100? Thilman, the Yomer Zakai, Mishalim, the one that holds Zaki, he's Mishalim. Why does he have to be Mishalim? Because he's part of the Bezin tribunal that messed up.
He shares a liability.
Exactly. And the Zakai.
Jointly and several.
According to the second man, the Amar Reish Lakish, it says, now we identify Rabbi Jones and Rabbi Smith said Zakai, and it was Rabbi Goldberg that says Chayv. Rabbi Shalom, he doesn't have to pay. They said very clearly, he said the right psak. So as far as the third man, the Amar, the Gemara doesn't bother going into what would Rabbi Lazar hold, because anyway the Gemara is going to be docha this pshat. So it's not marich, it realizes that the time is moving on, so therefore there is a third mandiyama, but we don't even bother saying what he would hold in this case. But Frank Dimara, Ulmandiyama Zakai, Mishalim, you're saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, since we said that this Bezin was Mizaka, so therefore all three have to pay, even the minority rabbi that said correctly, Leimelahu, why can't he say to them, Ilidididzai Sison, you Hevra, had you listened to me, not only I wouldn't have to pay, you guys wouldn't have to go and pay. Mm-hmm. See, you're shielding, you guys are guilty. You have a good point. It's clear that he doesn't have to go and pay. Even if they said Zakai, why doesn't he have to go and pay? He said the correct psak. He was right. They were wrong. The shaila is, do they have to go and pay for his portion? Meaning, this was the $300 damages. We've concluded, according to this noob shot, that the third Dayan certainly doesn't have to pay $100. Mm-hmm. He said the correct psak. The question is whether the first two only pay $200, or do they have to pay Manasseh Day? They have to go and pay $300. Mm-hmm. L'man yom zakai, since we made this zakai on behalf of the entire Bezin, Mishalmi, they're the guilty guys, they have to pay the full $300. L'man yom uploini uploini mizakai, uploini uploini mechayvin, that we identify was Rabbi Smith and Rabbi Jones. They're the one that said Zakai. And it turns out that they were wrong. So then, then they do not have to pay for his portion. We went and identified what it was. If you said Zakai, then they would have to go and pay Manasseh today. These two rabbis would have to pay $300. But since we said Pliny, Pliny, and we said the other Pliny is Mechayiv, the only guys that messed up in the Psak were the first two, they only have to pay their two. They don't have to pay all three-thirds. Frank Timothy, the Amr Zakai, Mishalmi, they have to pay their two-thirds. For Lame Rulay, why don't they go and say to the third dying, Ilav at Bahadon, they have a solik dinamidi. You also partially contributed to this verdict. Because if you had not agreed to sit with us on this rabbinic tribunal, we wouldn't have been able to hold a din Torah. So yeah, if you and beer, it sounds like a difficult argument. Mm-hmm. But that's what the Gemara says. You're also partially responsible, because without you, we could never have issued this faulty verdict. So you should also have to go and pay. Or at least we shouldn't have to pay for your chedek.
But you might, Ella, the brothers on the 3 years where they're saying that you were, if they can't count Mazav, you can't do make them pay Zomim, because
unless all three are invited.
Right. Mm-hmm. So a similar thing, they're in part of the
I mean, like yesterday, Svar Gemara, he's also contributed. Good. El Ikeminayu Mishum Loiselech Rochel Bamecha. This is what everybody was cooking about already 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. How could you possibly go and say Rabbi Smith and Rabbi Jones said that you happen to be innocent? You're not supposed to go and tell the inner secrets of the court. And Yair Gemara says, "Lechilech Rachel." Yesterday we had another pasuk. Hoylech Rachel megales soit. Person who's a peddler, he goes and reveals all the secrets. You don't tell the secrets. Just simply say, "Zach, I finished." Why did you have to go? I'm sorry. Zach, I'm Mishum Lechilech Rachel. I don't think it's a good idea to go and blabber and talk too much. Just simply say, "Bezin decided, Zach." If you're not going to go and detail who said what, it sounds like this was a unanimous decision, if you're going to say Zakai, but it's not true. It wasn't unanimous. It in fact was a machlekes two against one. So therefore, says Rish Lakish, I feel that this concern, a mechzei kishikra, overrides the leisodach rachel, tell everybody the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But Reb Lozer is leidemar, is leidemar. Reb Lozer takes both positions seriously, and he says he's right. We say lechrochu, but on the other hand, I don't want it to be mechzik yishikra. Hilkach kasvi hochi. That's why we say midivreim nizdake plaini. So when you say midivreim, that automatically gives you the sense
not
that
unanimous.
It's not unanimous. So you don't have to worry about mechzik yishikra. But on the other hand, after we say lechrochu, we don't identify which rabbi said yet and which rabbi said nish. We just leave it blank. We just say that's why we say the brain is not complaining. So we hold a shtickle as always, shtickle as
always. How do you come out then with the when our earlier question we had our Havamina, if who pays? The two judges pay everything, or the two dayanim say only 2/3?
The Gemara said that to go and say that's the nafkimina would be a difficult thing to say.
You could say, why did you sit with us?
Exactly. So therefore, why?
To me, that's,
it's a difficult argument. It's hard to understand. But anyway, bottom line is, the nafkimina between all these three is, whether you're worried about the leiselech rochel, or am I worried about the shikra? So now everybody's concerned, well, let's go back to the end of the Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah, it says, yesterday's daf chof tesa med aleph, the last two, three lines, uminai in lekishi yetzei, when they leave. Don't tell everybody I was mezak and the other two were the majority. So my answer, what can I do? I was the minority. I tried as best as possible fighting for you and telling them that they're wrong. So don't say that. But here we see that there's a three-way machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is concerned about this leiselech rochel. Rish Lakish is not concerned. Rish Lakish says, "Yeah, the Bezin should reveal who." Isn't this seemingly inconsistent?
On Rish Lakish,
the Chayit is a kash on Rish Lakish on the end of our Mishnah. So Zugna Mefarshim, what our Mishnah is telling us is that the reason why that third Dayan is making nice to one of the Bali Din, presumably the Bali Din that selected him that he should be the Dayan on the court, is because he wants to develop a certain amount of favor with him. So that perhaps now or in the future, they'll be friendly, maybe he'll give him a loan, maybe he'll go and send him Shlach Munis, something that he wants to be in on good terms with him.
Maybe
so that's why. Maybe in business. That's why he's the business of peddling. Maybe he'll say, you can be my co-peddler with whatever type of thing. So that's why. No. Don't the Galasar. Over here, we're not talking about one Dayan is trying to develop a friendship and favoritism with one of the, find favor in the eyes of one of the Bali Dinim, but rather, we want to now issue the verdict. If you're issuing the verdict, there's no Leiselech Rochel that one party is trying to find favor in the eyes of one of the Bali Dinim. They're just telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The Rabbi Jones, exactly. That's, you know, why help me God? Because it says, Elikim Nitzav Badas, okay? Whenever the peasant sits, God Almighty is there with you. So when you're talking, you're swearing, to help me God, God is present. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so this says Reish Lakish, since over here nobody's trying to be Motzei Chayin in the eyes of one of the Balidinim, we're just going and issuing the Psak. You can issue the Psak without any concern about the Hoylech Rach. Mm. But of course, Rabbi Yechon disagrees. And that's the three Machlokes, and Barry has a question.
Yeah, so we have another court, which somehow has more power than this initial tribunal, mm-hmm. that is able to reverse their verdict and indemnify them. If that court can reverse their verdict, let them reverse the original decision and have the previously guilty guy, the innocent guy, now reverse the funds. Why? I understand there's a mechanism and there's a way where you appeal and etc. But if the mechanics of it is if it's shikul hadas, mm-hmm. why not reverse the verdict? Why are we?
Very good question. But that's only not a question for today. It's a question for Davok. But the Gemara said it depends. If it's Tov B'dvar Mishnah Choizeh,
right?
The whole
verdict
is Bakal Mavutal Ab Initio.
Right.
From the very beginning, right. They made a mistake. Abubu, throw out this verdict. But that's only if it's Tov B'dvar Mishnah.
Right.
It's Tov B'dvar Shikul Hadas. Halacha is the psak is a psak, and because they cause damage, then the dayanim are on the hook,
I
and they have
the
to pay.
The other guy's not around to pay back.
He talking about the third one. He talking about the first two.
The first, and above. You know, it's they have to. The judges. I would have thought that it means the judges have to pay because the other guy is broke or whatever it is.
The judges have to go and pay because they messed up. They said that Shimon doesn't have to pay to Reuven the $300, and it turns out that they were oh, they have to go and pay the damages that they caused.
The question is, why should Reuven just come and
we should have to reverse the
exactly.
verdict.
If they have the power to take money from the dayanim and give it to a litigant, they have the power to take the money from one litigant and give it to another. Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. Why are we limiting the reach of the appellate decision to the dayanim? Why did it go all the way back?
Because it's not crystal clear that they goofed because it's not Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. If you'd open up the Shulchan Aruch and you'd see in Tzimin Chof, Sif Katan Gimel, that's a psak like that, then for sure the whole thing was wrong. These guys really messed up. However, you look at Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say. It looks like from inferences that we pask in one way and not the other way, but it doesn't say clearly. So if he went with those inferences, then he'd be fine. But the fact that he went against the inferences, everybody says, you're right, it doesn't say clearly, but that's the way it sounds like. Every time you look through a Ktois, through a Nesivis, through the Shah, through the Taz, through the Sma, it always sounds like they're going with this approach of Abaya, not like Rava. And he went like Rava against Abaya, and they can tell you, Al-Kigam, I'm sorry. So Rav Shmuel, or Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yoyi, whatever it happens to be. The point is that since he goofed in the sense that he should have gone with what appears to be the majority view, and he went with the minority view, but it doesn't say clearly that's a Psak. So what he said is, Gipaskin. But however, since in the rabbinic world, among the Bateidinim and all the Dayanim, that's not the normal way that they usually paskin, that we say, you were goring to have Shimon lose money.
It's kind of like dinner der garmi type thing.
Yeah, something like that. It's like a hezek, and they have to go and pay for the fact that they were messing. Back to our Gemara.
Saying that even if Reuven's there, the judges have to step in and pay.
They have to pay.
And Reuven saying, you know, boy, it was a lucky day for me.
I think
it undermines the basic premise of the Beis Din.
I agree.
Whatever Beis Din says, that's what it is. If they made a mistake, they have to pay. You cannot go and take from Reuven to give to Shimon because then nobody would believe. You know.
We have Rabbi Gamliel saying to Rabbi Yeshua, I don't care that you think today is Yom Kippur. Beis Din said tomorrow is Yom Kippur. Right. I want to see you here Friday morning with your credit card and your car keys and et cetera in front of me.
So that answers your question.
But the point is that why does the first Beis Din not have that power? If they're not mistaken in the Dvar Mishnah, why doesn't that first Beis Din share that immunity? What gives the second Beis Din that power to cause the judges in the first tribunal to pay? It's the same force. It's the same power. It's the same with Tokov.
So, in terms of having to go and reverse the verdict, you agree with Bill and with everybody else, like the Gemara said, you cannot reverse the verdict because they have impunity. There's a Beis Din. We don't want impunity, whatever the correct word is. The bottom
insanity.
Line is sorry.
Insanity.
Yeah. No. Chas v'shalom.
And as a result, their verdict is done. It's conclusive. You can't go and uproot it. But it turns out what they did was faulty, that it caused a hezek to Reuven, because really, mitzad the shikol hadas, it should have been the other way around, that Shimon should have to pay. So we're not going to reverse the verdict, but they're going to have to go and put their hands in their own pockets and take the money out. You recall back in Davob, we said, however, if they receive reshusam mibei reish kalusa to go and be done, that would already exempt them from ever having to go and pay in the future, even if they messed up in the psak.
That's how whole malpractice insurance started.
Okay, very good. And we continue on.
If they
could
develop the
side
curls, they could pay us.
Okay. And it says at the end of the Mishnah that once the Besdin has finished their deliberations, Machnisin, they bring back in the people for them to issue their verdict. The question is, Hayu Machnisin, who were they Machnis? Who did they bring back? Leman, Ilim the Balidinim, we're talking about the Balidinim, the two parties, Hasam Kaimi, they never left. Where would you bring them back? El Eden, we're talking about that they bring back the Eden. Kiman, to like Kremnosin, Chorid is not like Kremnosin. Who's Kremnosin? The sign, we learn in the Bryce. Now the Bryce only has Kremnosin at the tail end, because these are two separate fact patterns and two separate halachas, the Reish and the Seif. The Reish is talking about the sign of the Olam Enedusa Mitzarefes Achiru Shneim Ki Echad. You can only mitzarev two people to Eidus if they saw the same Maisa at the same time. Even if it happens to be one after the other. But this Machloikis is talking about the Re'iyas or Eidus, the original Maisa Shehoyim. So for instance, like the Gemara is going to talk about, what happens at Reuven? We have two Eidim come into court. One Eid says, it was Sunday morning. I remember very distinctly. I remember I still had a full stomach from the chunt of the day before. It was Sunday morning, and Reuven lent $100 to Shimon. Then the second Eid comes in, and we ask him, oh, what do you say? I don't know anything about Sunday morning, but I was in Mesmerish Monday morning. I remember I got an aliyah. Mendy called me up, I got an aliyah. And therefore, after davening, I remember after the shir, and Reuven lent money to Shimon. The question is, are these two mitzvahs? After all, they both said things, they both said that Reuven owes $100, or Shimon owes $100, but they're talking about two different mice. He's saying on Sunday morning, and the other one's talking about Monday morning. They both have to go and say the same thing, that we were there both on Sunday morning, or both of them were there on Monday morning. Otherwise, any mitzvahs. No, even though this one was Sunday, this one was Monday, but bottom line, they both say he owes $100. That's halacha number one, which is not negiah to us. But halacha number two, the ein edusa miskayemes b'bezdan shiru shneim keachad. Both of them have to appear in the bezdan the same morning, the same day, and say the edus not mamish simultaneously, but concurrently or sequentially. But it's got to be the same time, more or less.
But wasn't it that the dayanim have one ed first and then the other one?
It's 100% correct. That's why I'm saying. We don't mean shnei ke'echad, that the mamish say at the same moment.
Because one of the second will imitate the first and just copy what he says, right?
Or if the mamish saying at the same moment, you won't be able to understand either of them, because he's going to be speaking quickly, he's going to be saying slowly, he's going to talk about Sunday morning, he's going to talk about the children. Everybody's going to say something differently, and it's going to be total havoc. So we just mean that they both have to be there. They come to the bezin at 10 o'clock in the morning. You remember our Mishnah said, then we said to the Godoy, you please start saying your edus. When he's finished, then we bring in the second eight. The two eight are not present simultaneously because otherwise in the second we just repeat. Okay, anyway. They don't have to be the same day. He comes in Monday morning, the other guy comes in Tuesday morning or Thursday, whenever it is. That's also good. And we're going to mitzvah if the two together. So what did the Gemara say? The fact that it says in our Mishnah, the Gomru has said over now, but we're ending the court case, Machnis, and we're bringing them back in. If you're talking about that we're bringing back the Eidim, it's Kamadalei Kremnosin. Because as far as Kremnosin is concerned, you don't have to bring anybody back. Monday, the first Eid came in. He already said his piece. They recorded it. They documented it. They know what he said. And then he goes sayonara. He goes to Australia. A day later, a week later, another Eid comes in. He says what he has to go and say. And we listen to him according to Kremnosin. So, what is this? Gomer Sadavi Machnis, we bring the Eden back together. We don't need the Eden to be together. They can be there separately from the beginning to the end. Therefore, if that's how you're going to learn the Pshat, the Eden, L'choid is a Rai that we do not follow Reb Nosson, but we follow the Tanakama, that the two have to be there more or less at the same time, And now at the end of the case, you say, yeah, everybody get together and we'll all be here. Zakti Mar, look, Lo'oilam Mitztaka, talking like the first pshat. We're not talking about Edom, we're talking about the Baladina. Ah, you said that Hosam Kaimi, why did we have to bring them back in? Oh, V'rim Lechemihi. The Kiyas Das Yerushalayim had the following minhog. We first bring in those two Bali Dinim. We listen to the arguments of both sides. And then Machnisis Edom, then we bring in the Edom. We listen to their evidence and to their testimony. And then we ask everybody, okay, we heard all the evidence, we heard all the arguments. Now it's our time to deliberate. Everybody go out to lunch, and you're going to come back a couple of hours from now. And now the Dayanim now argue and discuss and have a dialogue with one another. And when they finally finish, they say, okay, everybody, parties, come back in. We're ready to issue our verdict. Also, we're talking about the Bali Dinim. We're not talking about the Edom, and therefore the Mishnah could go like Reb Nosson after all, because our Mishnah is not talking about Machnisa and Edom. We're talking about Machlisin as the Baal Hedin. However, even though from our mission we don't have a raya one way or the other, but we do have a braisa directly on point. V'atanya, that it says in the braisa, Gomus Adam Machlisin as Edom. Edom, come on back. What do you mean coming back? According to Reb Nosson, the second aid hasn't even shown yet. Or the second aid has, but the first one has already left town. Because they don't have to be together. They can come on in totally different days. But the Mahid like Reb Nosson, that braisa is not like Reb Nosson, but our Mishnah could go like Reb Nosson. Okay, Gufa. The Gemara from here until the top of the Amid is going to discuss both of the cases in that Braisa, the Machloikis between Tanakama, Reb Shuv ben Karcha, and the second Machloikis in the Sefer between the Tanakama and Reb Nosson. So we take each part separately. Look, Gufa. Li'olam ein edus mitzarevas ad shir rishneim ki'echad. If you want to have good, effective Edom, it has to be that they saw the original Masa at one time. So both of them come and say to Bezin, we both saw on Sunday. Oh, we both saw on Monday. Mm-hmm. However,
do they have to see each other? Because one could be in a corner and the other one in a corner and see the murder.
Our Gemara doesn't go into that. I think by Din and the Fashion that's required. I don't know that that's required by Din and Mamadis. But our Gemara does not address that today. But we're going to have that in the future.
That's a different perspective.
Different approach.
Against Rabbi Yeshua.
I'm sorry, once again.
Not according to Rabbi Yeshua, no.
You're talking about Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha. I'm glad that you said that, because Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha, amen. It doesn't have to be that they both saw Ki'echad. He saw Sunday $100. He saw Monday $100. The bottom line, the common denominator of both of them is that he lent them $100. This was a Sunday $100. This was a Monday $100. But he also bought
$100.
Okay.
But I said perspective because Bill's thing is in one quarter they see something different.
From a different perspective. Very good. Zorkimah, my commitment, what's the basis of the machleb between Tanakam and Shuv ben Karcha? Ibai say Makra, it's a possible, Ibai say Misvar. Ibai say Misvar. I'm money to come Masad high, like a Masad high. Who money to come Masad high, like a Masad high? Period. The Tanakama says, if he's talking about a Sunday long, and he's talking about a Monday long, we're obviously not talking, we're talking apples and oranges. These were maybe the money that was lent on Sunday, were in dollar bills, and maybe the Monday he went and gave him a check. Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. The point is, it's not the same mana, and both Zalpishnai made him Yakum Dover. It's one Dover, not two Dvar.
You can't be Mizamin them. You don't have an Indian of Zomimim. If one thing on Sunday, one thing on Monday, okay, on Sunday night I came back from Chicago. That's why I saw it on Monday.
And what happens with Adam Mazimim, say, the both of you were with us for a whole week?
No, but I'm saying,
because
one,
you were Shushbinim and you were there for the Ganzer Shem.
So I'm saying is that if they're not
Mazimba,
if they're not simultaneously seeing the same thing, then you can't be Mazim them. And if you can't be Mazim them, not him, then Adus that you can't be Mazim is not Adus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, since they cannot be Mazim,
David's answer already. He was with them the whole week in Chicago.
To Adam Mazimim say that they were with us for Shabbos, the Shabbos of Rufin, Chasana was Sunday night, there was Sheva Brachas the whole week,
okay.
And both of you were here.
We all shared the room.
Exactly, shared a room in the hotel, exactly right, because the wives couldn't come, etc., etc. Anyway, the Edoch, what does Reb Shuv ben Karcha hold? Amana ba'alma tervayka masadi. It doesn't make a difference whether it was the Sunday mana or the Monday mana, but everybody agrees that, bottom line, he lent him $100, and that's it, all finished. That's the Machloikis Tanakam, that's the Svar. What does that mean? Eid Eiro Yad. We have in the Brachot Mashu Shenem Leyokim Eid Echad Beish L'chol Oven L'chol Chatos. It says Eid Echad. Frank, do you want any idea Shu Echad? The word Eid by definition is singular. It would be enough to say Leyokim Eid. Why did it say Eid Echad? Ma'atam Leim Echad Zeb Ban Av Kol Mokrish Shenem Eid Harikan Shnayim Achif L'chol Kosev Echad. Anytime you see in the word in the Torah the word Eid, it means really Eidim, unless it says Eid Echad. The Afkir Rachmana Baloshen Chad. So why does the Torah say Vu Eid Oyroa? Why does it say the Heim Eidim? Why does it say Vu Eid? Lameimer Ad Dechozu Trevayu Kechad. That the word Eid means that the two Eidim have to merge into one, that they should be exactly the same, meaning talking about the same mana, the same morning, the same Sunday, and not Sunday but Monday. That's the kavana of merging the word Eidim into the word Eid to tell you they have to be mamish like one individual. The Eidach, the other one says, look how broad the Torah says. Vu Eid, Oyroa, Oyoda, Mikol Mokan. We're allowing for a certain amount of leeway. You don't have to be mamish an Eid that you saw. You knew, you heard, you were there. Daram, daram. In other words, we're trying to make it a little bit more flexible, and therefore you don't have to be mamish ki echad. As long as one says a mana and the other one says a mana, Oyroa, Oyoda. That is all mitzaref, and therefore says Rishu Mikarcha. Sunday morning mana and Monday morning mana. Merge. Continue on. This is now the second part of that brisa. We're not talking about the re'iyas eidus. We're talking now about the hagodas or eidus in Bezdin. The two have to go and say eidus. We don't mean mamish at the same time, but we mean basically the same morning. Like our Mishnah said, the eidim were there. We first bring in the first one, Mishairin Esha Godol, Shibahan Vo'imram Loy, Emor Hechatiyadea. When he's finished, then we ask the second eight. But they brought into the Bezin at the same time, but they don't actually say testimony, Mamish at the same time. Reb Nosson, what are you talking about? Shem Devoshal Zahayoim, Shevna Machal Machar, Shem Dvarav. There's no reason why they have to come in the same day, the same week. He speaks today, he'll be next week. Dr. Mike, what's the Machloikis over here? We know it says in the Pasuk, Leyokim Eid Echad Beish L'chol Oven L'chol Chatos, Tash Nimar, Oven L'chol Chatos, Hu Di Einoi Mekim. Avol Yokim L'gabi Shvua. Aha. So we know when one Eid comes in today, Monday morning, to the Bezdin, and he says his testimony, the maximum that he can do on his own is be mechayiv ishvua. He cannot be mechayiv mamonis. So now, ki asa lishvua asi. L'mayin lay asi. He doesn't have the power to be mechayiv mamonis because he's only one eight. The idach, period. So therefore, what we're saying is, it's as if you have a Sunday eight who comes into bed. Well, let's not talk about Sunday because Bezin is closed. Monday and Thursday. Right. On Monday, the first eight testifies. Based on his testimony, at the most we can do is be mechayiv yishvua, not be mechayiv mamon. Now, when the second aid comes in on Thursday, and he says his testimony, he's only a one guy, he can also only be mechayiv shvua, and not mamon. Says this man the Amar, how can you combine two shvuas and then transform that into one mamon? Each one of them, since they're testifying on their own, by definition, their halachic limitation is that they're limited only to mechayiv shvua and not mamon, and you can't go and combine the two chiyuv shvuas and make mamon out of that. It doesn't work. Even when they come together Monday morning, do you think they say b'chad puma mamish at the same moment? Of course not. It's got to be he says his piece when he's finished. Okay, you go in the other room, bring in the other guy, and now let's hear what he has to say. So, also, it's not simultaneous mamish, and nevertheless, you're mitzaref it. Why don't you say, the first guy, he was mechayev mamayim, mechayev shvua, he left, the second guy is mechayev shvua, how can you mitzaref? No, you can be mitzaref. Since he came for purpose of mamonis, you can be mitzaref. So, it's not only two on the same morning, it's two on two mornings. He comes in Monday, and he comes in Thursday. Oh, good. Just like you can starve them one after the other, you can starve them when there's a space of 3 days, one after the other.
Makes
a lot of sense. So that's why. It says in the Pasuk, L'yagid v'nosa avaynoi, u'dekul yamik rabban d'pligya leid rabishu ben karcha. Everybody holds like the first Rabbanan, of the first Machlokes, that the Re'iyas HaEdus has to be at the same time, not that I saw Mana on Sunday and you saw Mana on Monday. Everybody, meaning in this second Machlokes about the Haggadah HaEdus, they all follow what Rabbanan say. So what's the Machlokes here? V'ocha. Rabbanan, the Pliga later, Pshum and Tacha. V'ocha. The second Machlokes, Bakushi Haggadah L'Re'iyah Kam Mifligi. Are we Makish one to the other? Since the Pasuk says, Im L'Yagid V'Nos Avoyne, this is already the Yagid, this is the Haggadah HaEdus portion. And the beginning of that Pasuk, Gemara leaves it out. It says, V'hu Eid O'Ro'o O'Yodo. They were talking about the Re'iyah. Im L'Yagid, if he doesn't speak, V'Nos Avoyne, he has an Aveira. He is mechuyev to go and speak. We're talking about a case where someone made a shvur that he doesn't know Eidus, and it turns out he did know Eidus. Yeah, I got 100% right. Anyway, but the point is, since this pasuk has both, that vuhu eid oirah ayada, and im loyagi benos avayna, just like we're going to explain the first part of the pasuk, vuhu eid oirah ayada, like the rabban. But since it says eid, that means two eidim are like eid echad. They're merged into one, so they both have to see at the same time. They also have to go and speak at the same time. Not the same time, mamish, but the same Monday morning, not one on Monday and one on Thursday. So that's pretty much that we are makish, and that we do not make a hekish one to the other. So we've now explained both machlokes, and with this, we stop at this shtickle. Now we start a new shtickle. It's connected to the previous, but it's a new shtickle. The Gemara tells us a story. Reb Shimon ben Eliyakim have mishtaket aleder b'yosef Reb Chanina l'mismachay. Reb Shimon ben Eliyakim had a good talmid or a good friend by the name of Reb Yosef Reb Chanina, and he felt that he was the top star among all the talmidim, and he was doing the best that he could to get him smicha. However, every time that he tried to do whatever he could, for some reason, it didn't work out. One day, he, Reb Shimon ben Eliyakim, was sitting in front of Reb Yochanan. And Reb Yochanan was talking about our Gemara, and he said, does anybody know whether we pass Reb Shimon Karcha that you have to have both? You do not need both the same morning. You can have Sunday morning and Monday morning. He saw a loan on Sunday, he saw a loan on Monday. Does anybody know how we paskin? Amalei Shimon Yochim. Shimon Yochim said, Dein Yoda. Dein Yoda means this fellow knows. Who's this fellow? That's Reb Yosef Reb Chanina, who Reb Shimon Yochim has been trying to be masmach to push. Amalei, no, Lein is a no, Lodazok. Nushokta. Nushokta. Reb Yosef Reb Chanina. Amalei. So now Reb Shimon Yochim went and did something which might be viewed as a little bit unorthodox. He said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Lismachi mar bereisha." Sure, I'd love for Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina to tell you about what he knows about Reb Shimon ben Karcha. But do me a favor, why don't you give him smicha first? So therefore, whatever he tells you now, it has the authority of a musmach, not just of stam. Amalei yo samche. So he in fact gave him smicha. Reb Yochanan gave smicha to Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina based on the request of Reb Shimon ben Eliyakim, and Omalais. Now he says, "Bni, no. Now that you got this mecha, Emily came to Shemata to tell me, do we pass Reb Shimon Karcha? Don't we pass Reb Shimon Karcha?" Omalai, he didn't answer the question directly, but he said, "Kach Shemata, I'll tell you what I heard. Shemay Reb Shimon Karcha l'Reb Nosser. Reb Shimon Karcha agrees to Reb Nosser, just like Reb Shimon Karcha says that you don't have to have Re'iyah Sa'edus at the same time. You also don't have to have the Haggadah Sa'edus at the same time. So this is what I heard when I was learning all the years in Yeshiva, and this is what I learned." Omar, so he, Rabbi Yochanan, was not impressed, and he says, "L'zeh hutzrachti, I needed your testimony about that." It's a chavad, it's a chadova poshet. Hashta, umay ikar Re'iyah Bahadi Adoni. Om Rabbi Shimon Karcha, loy be'inan. Madach, when we're talking about the original incident, said Rabbi Shimon, well, we can be lax, we can be flexible, this can be on Sunday, this can be on Monday. We're talking about the testimony about the original incident. And he said we can be mitzaref Sunday and Monday. Sahagoda, when we're talking about just recounting as to what happened, then Tzichar Avadi, you can go and say, one will say the Eidus on Monday and one will say on Thursday. Hagoda mi boya, for that I didn't need you. However, Rabbi Yochanan said, Amalei, Hoyel via Alisa, since I already was Maliyu, meaning that I already gave this smicha, Loi Teir, I'm not going to go and withdraw it. In other words, even though it was a shtickle al pitous, if I would have known that you're not going to add any new information, I wouldn't have given it to you. However, once I gave it to you, you know, Malin Bekoidish, the Ein Moiridin. Once you happen to be there, I was Mali, we'll leave it at that. Fine. Omrev Zeira, Shmamina, what do we see from this story? Gavarab, Kim in the Samech, we see that once a person like Rabbi Yochanan gives smicha to this person like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, once you give it, it's done. You don't withdraw, you don't take it back. Dr. Maravaita. Now let's get back to Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha. And we're going to speak about Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha at some length for the rest of the Omid, as you'll see. Om Rabbi Barabin, Om Rab, Halak Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha, Vein Bekarkois, Vein Bim Metautlin. What does it mean, Vein Bekarkois, Vein Metautlin? So Rashi explains, Vein Bekarkois means, let's look at the fourth line of Rashi at the very top, fourth line, Vein Bekarkois. Zeoimer Befonai Hoideloi, Shekarka Zeshaloi, Zeoimer Af Befonai Hoideloi. On Sunday morning, there was a dispute between Reuven and Shimon, who owns this karka. I remember hearing clearly that Shimon said to Reuven, the karka is yours. And then the other aide says, I wasn't there Sunday morning, I was still in Chicago. But I came in that night, and I remember Monday morning that, again, he had the same discussion between Reuven and Shimon, and I was there, and Shimon said to Reuven, Reuven, this karka is yours. Says Rav, Chiva Rav and Amarav, we pass like Shimon ben Korcha, legabi the karka, that the karka that the two Edom are mitzarev, and we're going to give the karka back to Reuven. Ben metalta, same thing applies to metalta. Now, of course, normally metalta means any type of chafetz, but here Rashi is very consistent. Metalta means money, and therefore you have again the same case of Sunday money and Monday money. That Sunday morning he saw halva of $100, and Monday morning the second one said I saw halva of $100, so we're going to be mitzvah of those two together, and we paskalim Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha, both in the case of the karka, as well in the case of the money of the two halvois. This is what Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Amar Rav said. However, Ula Amar, halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha, bekarkois, avloim metaltlin. Why? Explains Rashi very simply. This karka is the same karka. If on Sunday, Shimon said to Reuven, this karka is yours, and then on Monday, again, Shimon said to Reuven in front of another, hey, this karka is yours. We're talking about the same karka. We're not talking about different karkois. They both said, this karka belongs to you. Shai. So the two Edom saw, even though it was two different days, we pass up Shimon Korcha, the Edom are believed, and they are valid and eligible and qualified.
Permissible testimony.
Permissible testimony. Avaloi v'tapa, not by money. Because by money, we're talking about two separate loans. Here we're talking about the loan of a Sunday. Here we're talking about the loan of Monday. We're not talking about the same money. Then it's not mitzvah. Okay, so we have machloikis legabe de metaltin. If you're telling me that halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha bekarka meklal de pligi, sounds like therefore there must be a machloikis. Otherwise, we wouldn't say we pass like Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha bekarka. I Amar Rav Abba Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Moed Chacham Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha. There is no machloikis between Chacham Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha in the following cases. First, be edus karka. There's no machlokes. Even the Chacham agree, because we're talking about the same karka. Sunday morning he said the karka belongs to you, and Monday morning again he said the karka belongs to you. It's like two separate edim, two separate utterances. Oh, but the mice, we don't want the same karka. That, according to everybody, even the Chacham agree. So why are you telling me halacha Rabbi Shimon Korcha? And moreover, v'toni Rav Idi Bar Avin, Benazikin the Beit Karna, when he was learning the Masechtas Nazikin in Beit Karna in the Karna's Yeshiva, he said also Moim Chacham Rav Shimon ben Korcha be'edus four things be'edus bechor ube'edus karka ube'edus chazaka v'chein shemibem v'sheh bebas. We'll explain what that means in a moment. But the point is the edus karka there is no machlokes Moim Chacham Rav Shimon ben Korcha. So why are you paskening halacha Rav Shimon ben Korcha bekarka ois? There's no machlokes bekarka. Everybody agrees. And for the Mar Gavra Gavra Karamis, Marsova Pligi, Marsova Light Pligi. You're telling me, you're asking Akasha from one Amoira to the other Amoira. One Amoira holds that he was a Machloikis Bekarka, but we passed on Rav Shimon ben Korcha, and the other man, the Amoira, says, no, there was never Machloikis in the first place. Good. So now, notice that we quickly just ran through those four cases. What are those four cases that they both agree? So let's go back to that for a moment. The Tani of Idi Bar Avim Rizikin, that what? Moin Chomim, the Eidis Bechor. What means Eidis Bechor? You have an animal, a Bechor, that has on it a mum. If the animal is a Bechor and doesn't have a mum, then you have to go and bring it as a carb in the base of Migdish. By Mersein Harabim today, there is no base of Migdish. So the only way that you can go and eat from such a Bechor is if it develops a mum. However, because of the fact that this is if you will, a wasting asset, meaning it's an asset that unfortunately eats and eats and eats, and you can't do anything with it, because I can't bring it for a carbon, and if it doesn't have a mum, I can't shecht it. So you could be holding on and feeding a bechor like that for the next 20 years, hoping and praying one day it'll have a mum. Throughout that period of time, you have to let it graze, and you have to let it eat, and all the rest. So there was a major financial incentive for people, especially the Kahanim, who owned the Bechor, to go and inflict a wound on this animal. Now it's going to become a Baal Mum, and now we'll be able to go and shecht it. So therefore, all the Kahanim were chashudim that they might, chas v'shalom, do something like that. So what happens now? We have two Edom. If two Edom say that we saw that this, you see this behemoth, you see the Mum, we were there when the animal got a mum. You know how it happened? It was, for instance, very, very dark, and the animal was walking down the street, and lo and behold, there was a bor b'shus rabim. The animal didn't see it. The animal fell in, came out, all bruised, with cuts on its nose and on its toes, and one of those mumen is permanent, and you could see it now in front. We saw it. Okay? Two Edom saw that it became a bal mum. Me'atzmoi. In other words, not by the efforts of the owner, but it happened on its own. Done, case dismissed, we go and, in other words, case closed, this is a bona fide Bechor Baal Mum, and you go and shecht it, and everything is great. However, what happens if you have two Edom, and one, and the animal has two Mumen, one Mum on its nose, and one Mum on its toes, and both of them are permanent Mumen. The first Ed says, I saw the animal fall into a bar on Sunday morning, and as a result, that's why it has the permanent Mum on its nose. The second aide says, I wasn't there, I was in Chicago at the time. But on Tuesday morning, I saw the same animal fall into the bar, and it has now a bruise, a permanent mum on its toes. Can you mitzarev those two? Says the Gemara. Bottom line is, it has a permanent mum, mum kavua, and has two of them. But that's each one, you only have one aide, you have to have two.
Right.
But the point is, I can mitzarev the two. He saw it was a mum me'elav. He saw it was a mum me'elav. Me'elav means it was not induced by the owner, and therefore, kusha v'yusha. So that's number one, no machlekes. Now, the Edis Karka is what we've been discussing. Sunday and Monday, he was moided that the Karka belongs to the other guy. Now, the Edis Chazaka. What's Edis Chazaka? We had something similar yesterday in the Gemara.
Three brothers.
We're just going to have two regular Edim. One Ed says, I saw Yankel living in this property for 3 years straight. Year one, year two, year three, and there was a second Ed as well. So now we have Edis Chazaka on 3 years. Comes now another aide and says, ooh, I wasn't there for the first 3 years, but I was there for 4, 5, and 6. Ooh, so the question is, can he mitzarev if the aide is from 1, 2, and 3, together with the 4, 5, and 6? Bottom line is, both say we saw him there for 3 years, but it was different 3 years. The first aide saw first 3 years, second aide said the second 3 years. Are they mitzarev? Zok Ravidi Baravin, is Ravidi Baravin? Yeah, Ravidi Baravin. The Chacham agreed to Rav Shimon Karcha. In this case, we merge the two, even though it's two different 3 years. What is Sheba Ben Sheba Bas? So that's what the Gemara now addresses. Here we're talking about whether or not this child has become a Godel or a Gedoyla, meaning whether they have developed Shtei Saris, two pubic hairs down below. So what can we mitzaref? Ilema Echad Uymer Achas Begavot. One aide says that there is one hair on the front of the body and one says on the back of the body. Actually, gaba is the back, kreisa is the front, is the keres, the stomach. So one says about one hair and the other one says about the other hair. And what are we saying? That everybody agrees that those are mitzarev. Nobody holds that mitzarev. Each one says they only saw one. If they only saw one, the child is still a katan or a ketana. And the other one says, yeah, I also can verify that this is a katan or katana. You can't go and put the two together and say, well, two katanim and two katanis make him into a gadol. That doesn't work. It's a chatzi dovah, chatzi edusu. Hello, echere mishnayim v'gabah, v'echere mishnayim v'kreisa. One says, I saw two hairs on the back. The other one says, I didn't see on the back, but I saw on the front. And each one says there were two hairs. So the masa, the child has two hairs, even though there's no unanimous testimony about the same hairs, but everybody says, yo, this is a hair, there are two hairs over here, and there are two hairs over there. That's mitzarev according to everyone.
Does it have to be in the pubic area? How come can look at
when the Gemara, so the Gemara uses gabon and kresa because it doesn't want to talk in any type of vulgarity. So therefore it makes it gabon and kresa, but it really means taka down
locations,
below.
Different locations.
Different locations in the front.
The Bas Israel don't have
This is talking about post. This is talking about post. Initially, okay. Avadim. But post after that. Or it's talking about really the ben. The boss is talking about post. Zokti more about to Umrav Yosef. I know I'm in it. I heard Mishmeida Ula. So we're going to have further discussions. Remember, we said in the name of Ula, if you go back the sixth or the seventh wide line at the beginning of the line, Ula, Omer Alokha, Bishum and Karcha, De Karkois, Avloid Metalkal. Omer of Yosef, now back to us. Ano Amina, I heard Mishmei de Ula, Alokha, Bishum and Kocha, Bein Be Karkois, Bein Be Metalkal. In other words, it's a machloikis, what did Ula really say? Rabban de Yosef, Machoiza Amri, Omer of Zera, Mishmei de Rab, Be Karkois, in Avloid Metalkal. We only pass the Rabshu Ben Karcha by Karka and not by Metalkal. Rav Tamei, Rav goes the Shitosi. This is Rav Zera Mishmei the Rav, only by Karka, not by the Talton. Rav goes the Shitosi, the Omer Rav. Hoido Acher Hoido. Hoido Acher Halvo. Those are Mitztarfi. Halvo Acher Halvo. Halvo Acher Hoido. Loi Mitztarfi. What does that mean? Says Rav, you know when we pass the Pshum and Karka that it's Mitztarif, when there's a possibility that the both are talking about the same thing. Hoido Acher Hoido. Sunday morning, Shimon says to Reuven in front of one aide, I owe you $100. Yes, Yankel is standing here as the aide. No problem. Yankel, listen carefully. I owe $100. Monday morning, the same thing happens, but not in front of the Yankel, in front of the Beryl, where Shimon says to Reuven, yes, I tell you full throat, I owe you $100, and Beryl listens to that. Then the armed starve. Because it's very possible that they're talking about the same $100. Similarly, Hoido Acha Halvo Mitztarfi. There was Halvo that took place on Sunday morning in front of Yankel. Beryl wasn't there, Beryl was in Chicago. But then on Monday morning, Beryl quickly came back from Chicago, and he heard Shimon saying to Reuven, yes, I owe you $100. Once again, it's very likely we're talking about the same $100. Then it's Mitztarfi.
What's the difference between the first and the second case?
The first, the only difference is in the fact pattern. The first case is talking about that both Sunday and Monday, no money was exchanged, no money changed hands. But on both days, Shimon said to Reuven, yes, I confess, I acknowledge that I owe you $100. He said that on Sunday morning and on Monday morning. Why does he owe $100? He borrowed a year ago, 5 years ago. He owes him $100. So that's hoido achreido. It could very well be we're talking about the same $100. And the same thing, I'm sorry?
Yeah, got it.
Okay, hoido achalvo, again, we could be talking about the same $100. He lent him on Sunday, and he's moida to Beryl on Monday. We could be talking about the same thing, mitzvah. However, alvo achalvo, if on Sunday one person saw, Yanko saw Reuven lending $100. And then on Monday, Beryl sees Reuven lending Shimon $100.
It's too different.
It's two different halvois, not mitzvah. Halvo acher hoido le mitztarfi. If on Sunday morning Yankel saw Shimon say to Reuven, yes, I owe you $100. 100%, I moidim mitzvada on a stack of Bibles, I owe you $100. And then on Monday, Beryl says, I saw him lend him $100. Obviously, this is a brand new thing. Lo mitztarfi. That's what Rav Zeir Moshe Mishmei Rav. Asher v'nach v'yitzchak v'rafuna b'rei d'Yeshua amalei. Maishna halvo achravo deloy. Deloy, the money de kachazi hai, like kachazi hai. What's the reason why they're not mitztarif? Because if you're talking about harvo achravo, the Sunday money is one money, the Monday mana or money is a separate money, so the two are not mitztarif. If that's the case, hoido achraido nami. It's possible a money de kamoide kami hai, le moide kami hai. How do I know that we're talking about the same mana? Maybe the Sunday mana that he is moida, he's referring to a loan that took place 6 months ago, and the Monday mana that he's moida took place a year ago. So it might be two separate. Well, why do you say automatically mitztarfi? Says you're right. The omelet is talking about the omelet lehai basra that Shimon tells Shimon, being the one that owes the money, the loida. He says on Monday to Beryl, you should know by mana the oida lekamoch. The one that I'm being moided to you now, yesterday I said it in front of the Yankel, and today I'm saying in front of you, Beryl. Oh, so therefore we see we're talking about the same money because he's moided me. He said, what I'm telling you now, I told him yesterday. Frankly, but Akati Basra Yoda, Kamala Yoda. But the guy from Sunday, the Yankel, he doesn't know that this is the same money on Monday. No problem, the Hadar Ozel, Amla the Kama. that afterwards Shimon goes to Yankel, he sees him at Mincha time, he says, you know what, remember yesterday we were together and I said that I moed that I owe Reuven the following amount. Of course I remember it like today. It was yesterday, but I remember. Well, I want you to know something new. That money that I was moed to you yesterday, this morning, you weren't there this morning, I know you weren't able to attend, I said it in front of Beryl, so now both of them know, from both ends, that the Haidah of Sunday and the Haidah of Monday was on the same mana because Shimon told the Sunday guy, the one that I was moited to you on Sunday, I was moited to the other guy on Monday, and he told the Monday guy, the one that I was moited to you today, I was moited already yesterday. When he heard this, Amalei, Tenuach Datcha, Shisnach Desdati, I'm so happy that you explained it in such detail. Now I know why there's a difference. Why I say Haidah Achra Dor is Mitztarfi, even though Halvoa is Loi Mitztarfi. Amaleis, he said, My Nechusa, why are you saying Baruch Hashem, everything is so crystal clear? The Rav Yisem Rav Sheshes showed the Bonarga. If you don't remember, Rava or Rav Sheshes threw in an axe and he destroyed this whole Halach of Rav. What axe did he throw in? Lav Hainu Haidah Achra Halvoa. When you have such haidah, achar haidah, even though the facts are different, but isn't that the exact same conclusion of haidah, achar halva? What does that mean? That there's halva that took place on Sunday morning in front of Yaakov, and then on Monday, the same Shimon said to Reuven in front of Beryl, remember yesterday there was a halva, today I'm being moide that I owe you the money. So that's haidah, achar halva. And that's the same type of fact pattern. And nevertheless, what did Rav say about Haidah Achra Alvo? He said that those are, back to Rav again, both cases are Mitztarfi. Once you tell me that Haidah Achra Haidah means that I told Yankel about Beryl of the next day, and I told Beryl of Yankel the day before, isn't that the same thing by Haidah Achra Alvo? That on Monday, I'm saying to Beryl, yesterday there was halva that took place, and I agreed that there was halva, and I'm now telling you also about this. Isn't that the same fact? On Malay, if that's what they say about you, who is the you, the one that Tenuach Daitra that said, oh, Baruch Hashem, you. This was Rafuna Brady Mishur. Nachman Yitzchak asked Rafuna Brady Mishur. Rafuna Brady Mishur is talking about the Kama knows of the Basa knows of the Kama. He said, now, even though you explained to me that Gemara so beautifully, but now you've said it's not so crystal clear, so beautiful, because now that we've explained Haidah Achra Haidah, that the Kama knows about the Basa, and the Basa knows about the Kama, that's presumably the same fact pattern by the Haidah Achra Halvah. That otherwise, how do I know the Haidah Achra Halvah is referring to the Halvah of Sunday? Maybe the Haidah is referring to Halvah of 6 months ago, a year ago. Muzdach Zayn, that he informed the guy on Monday, I'm being moid about yesterday is over. And it must be that he went back to Halva of Sunday and he told him, Yankel, I want you to know I made a Haidah on Monday vis-a-vis that same Halva. So therefore, aren't they exactly the same? And if they're exactly the same, why did Rav have to repeat it? Amalei. So he said now, in somewhat of a sarcastic fashion, Haina d'shmi li alaychu, that's what I've heard about you, t'remisu dikli v'zak fisa lehu. That what you do first is you cut down the trees and then you replant them. What does that mean? If you look back on five lines from the bottom, Hanid Shmili al bnei Ircha, I heard about you from the local populace, and I heard about people in your town. To Ramisas Dikli, Sha'atim Mishunim, you're strange in the sense quits in the column. First you cut down the trees, b'chayz v'noyten I said, and then you replant them. Kloimar boinim v'soistrim, that at the same time you're both a bona and a sosa. Shepirashim li kushia, initially you gave me such a beautiful explanation how the Haidah Achra Haidah is Mitztarev, and therefore you cut down all the difficulties, you remove all the trees, now it's clear land, because I was you know what you did? And a minute later you went and planted the trees again, and now I'm again in the middle of the forest, I'm now stuck, what's the difference between Haidah Achra Haidah and Haidah Achra Halva? That's the end of that shtikla. Nerdoi Amri, Ben Haidah Achra Haidah, Ben Haidah Achra Halva, Ben Haidah Achra Halva, Ben Haidah Halva Achra Halva. It's all mitzvahs. It doesn't make a difference. Keman k'rabishu ben karcha. And this goes back to the original thought pattern that we had at the very beginning, that the reason why Rabbi Shu ben karcha says it's mitzvah, it doesn't have to be mitzvah because we're talking about the same $100. Even if we know we're talking about two separate $100. He made halvah on Sunday. But you don't have to, what you're saying is correct. But what they're saying is, both Yankel and Beryl are being made that we know for sure that Reuven lent $100 to Shimon. You were talking about two different $100. Okay, this was a Sunday, this Monday. The bottom line is he owes him $100. Yeah. What you're adding is, if you add the 200s there, 200 altogether, so at least 100 of the 200 for sure, he is chayv one way or the other. Very good. So that's Commander of Shimon Kach. Rav Yehuda. It is a machesh zu azu bebedikois, kisher bedini mamanis. Normally I would say, let's put two dots over here, and we learn this tomorrow. However, you'll see that this is still connected to the previous command. So I'm going to read it. Machish is zuazu. If you have two people that are being machish, are contradicting one another. Bibidikois, it's ksheira, the dinim mamanis, not by din nefashis. Remember we said at the beginning of the Masech, that really said in the Pasuk, mishpat echad yilachem, the same rules apply to both mamanis and to nefashis. However, because leitinel delis bifnei lovin, we relaxed it and said, even if when it comes to bedikois, they have a shtickle inconsistency, it's still kosher. So Omer Rav, Mistabra Milzei Rav Yehuda. When did Rav Yehuda say this, that Edis Mukheshes works? When he lent them the $100, one of them said, I remember he took it out of a white manila envelope. And the other one said, no, I remember he took it out of a black manila envelope. So I really care what the envelope was, white or green or red or yellow.
It was manila.
Manila?
Manila.
Okay, anyway, so the point is, Manila. So the point is, says Imar, it doesn't really make a difference. What means mana shachar? Mana shachar, says Rashi, means that this is old money, and therefore it is accumulated a lot of dust and dirt over the years, and that's why it's black. Well, manalava means it's friendly, freshly minted. It says on a 2025, just came out of the American Mint of Washington. So then, aim it started, because we're talking about the money itself. Says Yomar, since you're telling me that this is by dinim mamanis, it sounds of arniki shchoyre by dinim nefashis. Loi, what happens by arniki shchoyre and arniki levana by dinim nefashis? Are you telling me it's not mitzarif because the bedikos are soiser? I v'amar abchizda echal im besayif hargoy, echal im be'ariran hargoy, ein zen nochay. If you have two eidim and they both saw a meiser ritzicha, and one says, I remember it like today, he stabbed the nebuch with a sword. The other one said he stabbed it with an ariran, which is a different type of clay zayin. When they say turchlin baroran, ken izemel, weismith, an axe, or something else, a different type of instrument. What's the difference? What's the din? Ein ze nochin. In other words, we don't say, hine emes nochin adover, they are not mitztarif. Why are they not mitztarif? Because these are two separate weapons. Ein ze nochin. However, echel oin mekelev shchoyim, echel oin mekelev levonim. If they say that the murderer, he says he was wearing black clothes, and he says wearing white clothes, ein ze nochin, that's fine, because who's focusing on the clothing? We're focusing on the meiser ritzicha. Oh, so we see from this braisa, or not this braisa, from Rav Chisda, that Rav Chisda holds that even details about arniki, or in this case, the kelim that we're wearing, that is also, that it's harizanochen, that it's still kosher edus, and we do not throw it out. So why did the Gemara say it's only by dinim mamanis? If there's hakchosha bebedikois, it's kosher. Even by dinim nefashois, if there's hakchosha bebedikois, it's also kosher. Says Imar Gavar Kavakaramis. You're asking me one person on the other. One man the Yama holds that these type of bedikos, bedinei nefashis, are kosher. The other one holds no. If it's bedinei nefashis, it's not kosher, and we will not be mitzvah if the two. And, here, Rabbi Yisrael, we continue tomorrow.